The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
It's a special Father's Day edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We've got an action-packed hour coming up for you here on Bears All Access, including a chat with Bears new outside linebacker Jared Allen in our next segment. But joining me now, Zach Zaidman, alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. Happy Father's Day, Jim. And before we get to what it's like to be a father on Father's Day, I know that you wouldn't have had the professional career that you had without the help of your father. And this is a special day where you kind of pass those memories along to your kids, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, my father, Richard Miller, always encouraged me to play sports. He started working at a very young age, and I think it was important for him. I'm the youngest of five. It was important for him that all of us get the opportunity to play in sports or get involved in activities, and there's plenty of time in your life to work. So whenever I needed something for sports, I always had the support of my mother and father, and my dad coached me in baseball growing all the way up until I got into high school. And so he had a big impact on my life, and certainly sports was always in the Miller household, and really was encouraged by my mother and father.
Yeah, it's about more than just passing along the DNA. And Tom, I know many times on this show you've talked about the work ethic that your dad had, working real jobs, and that is something that transferred over into your football career.
Oh, no doubt about it. If it wasn't for the influence and the encouragement of my mom and dad, I would have never made it in the sports. And I, too, am the youngest of five. So they had all the trials and tribulations with the rest of the kids, and my brother was a stud football player, too. But, my mom took us to practice, and my dad was always there to pick us up. And my dad wasn't an athlete that you were told about as you were growing up. My dad was a worker, worked outdoors every day of his life, and that was the way that we were taught hard work. We were never given the option of quitting. Once we started, we finished it. And I think that was the best trait I have ever gotten from my mom and dad, is the ability to work hard, because if you don't work hard, you can never play sports. And that is the most key of the ingredients, I think, that you need in order to pursue a life that you have a dream about, playing professional sports.
You know, Jim, he makes a great point, because you do some coaching when it comes to the kids, especially your son. And we can talk about the X's and O's and all the different things that you need to do on the field. But I think Tom just nailed it. It's the work ethic that gets you to where you're going to be.
Well, there's no doubt. And it's funny, because I find saying the things that my dad did coaching me, as a 9 and 10 year old, here I coached a flag football game today, and I find myself, like I said, saying the same thing. I do the same things my dad did. Every kid plays. I want everybody to participate. I want everybody to have fun, and teach them the proper ways to play football, and all the great things you can learn from football: dedication, like, and hard work that Tom mentioned, teamwork, sportsmanship, all the things that are important, that are life lessons that you can carry forward, outside of the sidelines of the field.
Yeah, and I think the as an older person, your mom and dad, they know what fun ultimately you're going to have, but it's not always easy getting you there. And that's why you needed the encouragement from your mom and dad in order to get there and realize that, hey, I'm decent at this. Hey, I really like these guys. I have a lot of fun with them. But, sometimes you got to be told and taught that, because you really never know. And you're so apprehensive about joining 50, 60, 70 other kids on the field, because, what do they have that you don't, and vice versa?
Is it weird now, Jim, when you look at some of the teammates that you had back in the day in the NFL, and some of them probably have kids that are either major college players right now, or even guys that could be playing in the National Football League today?
Yeah, and there's quite a few of them. It was interesting, because DJ Young was a tackle He actually went undrafted out of Michigan State, and I played with his father, Dwayne Young, who played in the NFL double-digit years. He was a decade tight end out there for the San Diego Chargers, and his son ended up playing at Michigan State and ended up playing out there for the Arizona Cardinals for a little bit, and he ended up knee, so he didn't make it. But when I'd go up to Michigan State and I'd see Dwayne Young on the sidelines, who I played with, and for him to sit there and watch his son going through the same things that he did while he was a player at Michigan State, you know, you could just see the pride on his face. He was very excited for him, and you know, very talented young man, and I was very fortunate to play with a guy like Dwayne, because he was a heck of a player on the field and just a great dad raising DJ to have the successes that he's had in his life.
It is interesting listening to the fathers who have had the sons and daughters to go on and play sports. Jay Hilgenberg's daughter played Division I volleyball. Matt Suey's son played football. Emery Moorhead's son went on to play college football, professional football, and now is coaching. It's the guys you played with that have an opportunity to watch their sons or daughters compete and then listen to them talk, because it seems like the fathers are, when they're talking about their kids playing, everything's so much harder for the kids than it was for the fathers. And I remember running sprints next to Jay at 110 degrees and Matt Suey and everything, and it was the hardest thing that we've ever done in their life. But I think it's harder for them to watch their sons and daughters go through the competitive life than it was putting themselves through the competitive life. Jim can probably answer that a lot better than I can.
Well, yeah, you know, just like today, I try not to show any favoritism towards my son. If anything, he, you know, plays less than everybody else. I just don't want any parents, you know, to criticize me. But, you know, I've got plenty of time here at home to teach him the proper things, and I try to, you know, treat everybody the same. If anything, I don't spend enough time with my son while I'm out there on that field, because I just don't want people to say, oh, he's showing more favoritism towards one player than another. That's very important, and he gets plenty of coaching one-on-one here at the house.
And there are a lot of players that, for a variety of different reasons, maybe the father wasn't around when they were kids, or, you know, was always busy working. So the coach of the actual team takes on the role of father figure.
Sure.
And when you look at a sport like football, that's a huge deal.
Yeah, and there's a girl on this young team that I'm coaching, so, you know, that's a different avenue. I've never, you know, you see more girls playing flag football, and they're part of these leagues, and, you know, you have to develop a different style of coaching, dare I say. So that's something new for me that I've experienced, and she's probably the best player on the team right now, which is unbelievable how well she performs. But, you know, you learn a lot from it. I love football. I want to pass all the great disciplines it teaches not only to my son, but all the young kids that are out there on the field, and it's a lot of fun. It really is enjoyable.
Thinking back, you know, Gordy Gillespie was my high school football coach. He just passed away, but he had such an influence on so many people, because I think back of the encouraging insults that he used to say. And he used to say, "Fair, I'm going to trade you for a balloon and pop the balloon." You know, and it's those things that stick with me still to this point, to this day. And if you got to yell something encouraging, it is something that's fun to say, but it's so drilled into your head, because the time you heard it from a freshman in high school till when you left high school, and then you continue to think about it in college and pros.
Right, because it's not just the football lessons, Jim. It's the life lessons that you learn from a coach.
Yeah, it is. You know, like, you know, I always remember, and this was really a lesson I passed on today from head coach Dick Duran, former Bears coach. You know, he would get upset if players got a penalty for celebrating after a touchdown. He'd always say, "Guys, why can't you just go celebrate with your teammates? You did it as a team."
Agree.
You know, and it always stuck in my head. And he's not the only coach that has said it, but just the way he said it, it just stuck in my head. And I found myself, again, I'm out there today, and young man Matthew runs for a long touchdown, and I'm yelling at the kids, "Hey, go down and celebrate with your teammate," you know, and lo and behold, they're down there raising the roof and slapping hands by the end of the game. But I thought it's important that those guys need to understand, hey, it's a job well done by all of us. We achieved a goal, and, you know, just something even I learned from Dick Duran, who I look at as a father figure, because he passed on great life lessons. I find myself passing it along here out on a flag football field.
You should hear some of the imitations that Tom Thayer has of the different coaches that have coached him over the years. You got one good one, don't you?
Coach Dick Damfell. That's it. Hey, Faz. But, you know, it's hard to do just when you're prompt, because usually when you're talking about a guy like Coach Damfell, it's within a group of a bunch of guys that you played with, and He had a raspy voice that was, you know, when he was yelling at you, you heard him above the crowd.
He was the legendary offensive line coach of those 85 Bears and a terrific player in his own right back in the day.
Yeah, one of the greatest offensive linemen in the history of the NFL. Unfortunately, he's not in the Hall of Fame, which he should be, but there's a lot of great players that should be in the Hall of Fame that aren't.
Guys, let's take our first time out. When we come back, we will talk some Bears, and we'll do it with one of the keys to the Bears defense. That is next. Tom Thayer is here. So is Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access rolls on. We'll be joined by Jared Allen next, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Jared Allen joins us now on Bears All Access alongside Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. So give us an idea of what you did to your body this offseason to get yourself ready for this new position.
Nothing much. Just, you know, just training hard. You know, obviously, you know, doing a lot of stuff for my back, you know, had some back issues. So just, you know, a lot of core training and stuff like that. But for the most part, more so just kind of, you know, different type of get-offs, you know, working get-offs when you start working speed stuff, you know, working, you know, get-offs out of a two-point, try to get yourself comfortable with that. Just watching film on guys that rush from a two-point because the angles are kind of different. Your steps are kind of backwards almost than what I'm used to. So really just mental stuff and then studying the playbook. You know, other than that, you know, when I get a chance to rush, that comes natural. Obviously, you know, playing the run, stuff like that, your fits are a little different. So, but other than that, nothing, no workout wise different. I mean, right, I've always played like 255, so that's about the weight I need to be at anyway. So, you know, other than that, it's more mental than anything.
You know, your on-field experience, what transfers to this new defense? You know, we know Jared Allen as a future Hall of Famer, as a four-down lineman. Now I see you undercut a pass, get your fingertips on it, and I'm going, but what transfers from Jared Allen to the new Jared Allen?
You know what? Be honest, I had to kind of just treat it as a new position, like I was learning something new. When I first came back, I was trying to translate, you know, drops to something I've done in the past, or on fire zone defense or something like that, and it's completely different because we're not just you know, position dropping anymore. You're randomly taking up space. So really, I just kind of just went back and I got my playbook. You know, I remember the first vet mini camp. I was calling my wife and I was like, man, I feel like a rookie again. I'm in my playbook till 10 o'clock at night, just making sure I understand the concepts. And as a fan of the game, it's kind of nice to, you know, to refresh myself and push myself in a different direction than I'm used to. You know, can after 11 years of doing the same thing, I'm just kind of rhythmed. And you know, so, you know, the new, it's more of a mental game for me. So you can understand. So when things do happen, you can read and react fast.
All right. Right now in June, July, speaking forward in September, are you thinking during the cadence now of the quarterback, where there's times out there you didn't have to think during the cadence? Is that part of the adjustment of learning this new defense, of just that thinking that has to go on now?
Yeah, because, I mean, it depends on the situation, right? So there's going to be times where, you know, I got pass responsibility first, obviously, and versus just thinking, getting after the quarterback if I got a drop. So there's a little methodical type stuff. But for me, I try to, you know, it's going to sound bad, but I try to think as little as possible out there. You know, I try to make sure I study so hard during the week that when it comes to game time, I know what's going to happen. And, you know, and so that's what I take from what I used to do, is whether it's studying now a route combination and an offensive tackle, you know, before studying an offensive lineman, knowing that once it's passed, I know already know what I'm going to do to the guy, or I think I know how he's going to try to set me, right? So that's same thing. So just trying to anticipate route combinations, just understanding the mental, so when it happens, you don't have to think, you know your responsibility. And then, like I said, when it's time to go get after the quarterback, it's actually pretty cool because there's some one-on-one capabilities and the different rush angles that allow you to have more one-on-one options.
Visiting with Bears outside linebacker, used to be defensive end.
Yeah, what's called slap. Right? I put my hand on the ground every now and then. That's probably the biggest part. It breaks my heart, you know, defensive end, linebacker, and stuff. But I'm having fun.
Yeah, so what is your position?
I was outside linebacker now. And you know what? I was talking to you know, somebody the other day, and I said, you know, 3 years ago or a couple years ago, I made a comment that, listen, I'm a retired DN. And in my mind's mind, my heart, I always will be. But I said, it's kind of speaking out of ignorance because, you know, now it's actually less wear and tear on my body. You know, not have to put my hand on the ground and bang every single snap. And actually, you get to kind of see more. You get to process more information. You know, the rush stuff. Now I know why, you know, guys back in the day like Sean Marion were loving this thing, getting, you know, 60 matchups on backs, one-on-one on tackles. Guards are having to check down to the actual, you know, three techniques. So it does. It provides a whole different bag of tricks when it comes to the rush game. It's pretty cool.
You know, having a chance to play against this defense a lot in my career and see Lawrence Taylor lined up over you in a two-point stance, it's scary. Seeing you in a three-point stance on third and long, it was scary. Now I watch you make that transition.
Do you watch anybody? Do you just have, like, thinking back? Because you're a historian of the game. Is there anybody from a two-point stance that kind of makes you, you know, you look at?
Oh, absolutely. So it's funny because, you know, I'm excited now I get to watch film on guys that I might not watch film on in the past because I didn't think they pertained to what I was trying to accomplish. But, you know, I've always been a big fan of DeMarcus Ware. You know, I think we do a lot of similar stuff, but he's always done it from a two-point. I've done it from a three-point. And so now I get to go back and study his film. You know, I'll be honest, I got Alden Smith, Tom Bahali film I've been watching. And, you know, and I could even probably go back even further. And, you know, I used to watch Derek Thomas and Neil Smith stuff when I was in Kansas City.
Patrick Swilling and Ricky Jackson.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, there's a whole you know, bag of tricks you get to open up. Honestly, if I had the – if I was, you know, back in Kansas City, I'd have them send it to me. But, you know, Derek Thomas used to rush from a stand-up every now and then and to watch how he could do stuff. I mean, that's a whole different athlete. But it is cool. So, yeah, I mean, for modern-day guys, it's more, you know, I look at, like, you know, Alden Smith is a long-rangey guy like me. You know, DeMarcus Ware, like I said, there's a guy who's pulling on a clip, you know, I got to work hard to stay ahead of him. But it's now I kind of get to understand those angles that the way they're coming from. And it's fun to watch them and say, okay, you know, I'm going to face a guy now who's going to have to block me similar because we have similar styles versus, you know, I'm on my feet now just like him. So it is cool to be able to go back and watch a different and study some of the players that you like watching, but you never really, you know, had a chance to watch. I'd like to go back and watch some Greg Lloyd film.
Yeah. You know, you're a mature young guy. That's the thing about it. You got so much experience, but you talk about all these guys that can, you know, can help you achieve where you're ultimately you're going to get an opportunity to be, which is going to be a neat thing.
That's what's fun to me. The first thing I did, I told when I found out, you know, what defense we're running, I said, hey, I need X, Y, and Z film. You know, and because I want to see guys that have had success rushing a two-point. And see how their footwork is different, how the angles are different, and little stuff from like flipping the hips. You know, when I'm lined up with my hand on the ground, I'm tilted. I'm kind of already flipped, right? You know, so my angle of entry attack level angles are a little different. And you know, people don't know that, doesn't think that makes a big deal. But one step, half step here is the difference between a pressure, a sag, between, you know, coming clean or getting, you know, washed down the line of scrimmage. So, but I tell you what, it's been pretty cool and you know, you can different ways. You know, now too, I can play with you compared to I can almost be right on top of you, right? You don't know if I'm dropping passes. So it is a cool mind game.
Well, your first interception come on a drop from a linebacker position or a pre-read of a screen?
Oh, I don't know. Probably going to be a drop from a linebacker position, but, you know, or maybe now it'll probably be a tip ball.
Well, you got one.
I got five interceptions in my career, so hopefully I got all my bases covered.
We'll catch you out on this. I heard you say earlier this offseason that you're good still. There are a lot of people who doubt that after what happened last season. Does that motivate you?
Absolutely. You know, I always want to be the best, you know. At least I don't make excuses. There were circumstances last year. But, you know, that was last year. You know, I talked with, you know, Foxy and everybody when I first got here. And, you know, in reality, I probably should have taken 6 weeks off to get my weight back after pneumonia. And I lost 15 pounds and I just never recovered my strength. But that's just not who I am. If I'm on the field, I feel like I can make plays. And if I can breathe and walk, I feel like I should be out there playing. And, you know what? You know, sometimes you go through stuff to help you build. I always say this league will humble you one way or the other, and you know, get a little slice of humble pie sometimes. And you know, you go two ways about it. You can make excuses because they're out there, or you can just own it and say I wasn't the me I wanted to be, and come back and bust someone's head. So that's all I'm going to do.
Thank you, Jared. Good luck.
No,
a motivated Jared Allen at the end of minicamp talking with us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. I think, Tom, the thing that stands out to me is, you know, he mentioned DeMarcus Ware. He mentioned Alden Smith. There is recently examples of guys who have switched positions late in their career and had a little bit of success. You know, Julius Peppers had a little bit of success last year in Green Bay, switching positions after being primarily a 4-3 defensive end for his career.
I like his attitude, his willingness to do anything that's asked of him, to go back there and look at some really good rushers out of the same position he's going to have the opportunity to play. If you have less than an attitude that you need to work hard at, that's ultimately going to get you better, the coaches are going to see a reflection of that. And as little as I do know Jared, I've always liked the attitude that he's come with. And even saying should have taken time off last week, and you don't do that. I think we've all been through that. A couple weeks off during the season would help us, but you just don't do it.
Jim, I'm interested in hearing your take listening to that from afar.
No, I agree. I think he can do it, and I think he's motivated to do it. And you can be. You can be reinvigorated, you know, making a position change. You mentioned guys that have gone from, a Tampa 2 to a 3-4 defense. Robert Mathis had a huge monster year prior to him tearing his Achilles last year. You know, you look at Dwight Freeney, his teammate, played 1 year in a 3-4 outside backer in Indianapolis before he moved out to San Diego. And unfortunately for him, he tore his ACL, but he was starting to play pretty good for the San Diego Chargers. So it can happen. You can do it. He's a smart football player, as he mentioned. Now he's got to process more information, and he can do it because he's got such a good football acumen under his belt. So I'm excited for him. I hope it works out every bit as good as what he wants it to, and he seems to be motivated to come back and have a monster year for the Chicago Bears.
Jared Allen is one of many question marks that you have at the linebacker position heading into training camp. About the only guy that you don't question is Pernell McPhee, who played outside linebacker in Baltimore in this 3-4 scheme, but there are so many guys. Shea McClellan, Tom playing the middle. You have a guy
Christian Jones is lining up there with the first team at
times. We asked John Fox this at the end of minicamp. You know, Jonathan Bostic has not been around on the field participating in any of the offseason workouts because early on he had a back issue. You know, is he going to be able to get in the mix here without practice time?
He won't have the same evaluation that the rest of these guys that have been going through the meetings and then doing on the field what they're learning in meetings. That's the key there, because when Jonathan Bostic does get on the field again, he's going to have to learn, listen, think, and then react. And that will slow a football player down no matter what type of speed you've been blessed with. So I think the key ingredient here is make sure Bostic is mentally ready the first chance he gets to physically compete.
And Jim, if you're a quarterback and you know there are a bunch of guys in a new defense that haven't had a lot of experience in that defense, you can start playing games with these guys with the deception.
Yeah, well, people are going to challenge him. They're going to want to see Jared Allen like a back out of the backfield, and they know that Jared Allen by the defensive front is going to drop in coverage. Yeah, they're going to test him. They're going to run a little, you know, halfback option or a wide route or screen that Tom mentioned to test him to see how good his drops are, if he's disciplined in these drops, and can he survey the whole field like what Jared was talking about processing information. They're going to test him because that's what football is. It's matchups, and they'll test all the backers of the Chicago Bears, probably other than McPhee, who you just mentioned, who comes with a good background in a 3-4. But the other guys, it's all new. They're going to try and find out who that Colonel Sanders is. Who's Colonel Sanders? There's Deion Sanders. He's a Hall of Famer. There's Barry Sanders, good football player he can cover. Colonel Sanders, not so good. He's good at making chicken, but he can't cover and play football.
Yeah, and he's bad at commercials, at least the new Bizarro
right.
one.
Well, they're going to find out. People are going to challenge the Bears linebackers to see who Colonel Sanders is.
You know, if you listen to Tom on Sundays during the Bear games, he always says, if you're thinking out there, you've already lost.
That's right.
You're thinking you're beat.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to switch the questions to some of the players in the Bears' new offense, including the quarterback, Jay Cutler. Jim Miller is along. So is Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. And this week, an encore presentation of Inside the Bears. Double A and Lindsay take the show to Costa Rica. Highlights include Caribbean cooking with Kyle Fuller, deep sea fishing with Willie Young. Inside the Bears, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airs tonight, 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. Zach Zaidman alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. Guys, we're about 10 minutes away from playing Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Again, 312-644-6767, the phone number. Basically, we go rapid fire, 10 minutes of nonstop football questions for Tom Thayer. Anything is fair game. Judge Jim Miller sits back, listens to your phone calls at the end of the segment. The best caller of the segment gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So there's a lot on the line coming up in about 10 minutes here on Bears All Access when we play Ask Tom, your chance to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. We just spent some time talking with Jared Allen and learning a little bit about the new Bears defense. There's a lot to learn, Jim, about the new Bears offense. And we'll start with the quarterback, Jay Cutler, because, you know, when you look at the scouting report, he's intelligent. He's got good feet. He's very athletic. He's got a strong arm. But how do you evaluate him at this point of the offseason? And when you look at all those things that I just mentioned, what transfers over immediately into Adam Gase's new system?
Well, I would think, you know, there's going to be some carryover in the progression reads. I got to believe that Jay Cutler is familiar with some of the terminology, as Adam Gase has a little bit of a Mike Martz past in his background, so there'll be carryover from that aspect. And I would think the footwork, it all is going to translate. You know, there's going to be in every offense, there's going to be 3, 5, and 7-step drops. There's going to be shotgun plays. And it's really about the progression reads and what Adam Gase wants executed on every particular play, because certain offensive coordinators, they'll change up their progressions. I'll give you a case in point. Say we run a bootleg naked. Let's say we go solo right, ride 339 naked right. I've been with some offensive coordinators where they want you to read deep to short. What does that mean? You got normally have a comeback route on the outside, an over route by the back side tight end, and then your front side tight end will release into the flat after the fake. Ride 339. You're faking 39 and rolling to your right. So you look comeback to over route to your man in the flat. That's reading deep to short. I've been in other offensive coordinators like Ron Erhardt. When I first arrived in the NFL, he would want you to read it short to deep. So read the guy in the flat first, then look to your next progression would be to the tight end on the over route, then look to the comeback on the outside if your first two options are covered. So there's going to be nuances, there's going to be subtleties, there's going to be idiosyncrasies that Adam Gase believes in and says, this is how I want it done, Jay. And Jay's going to have to make the mental notes or the written notes and accomplish it learn it where he can execute it exactly to Adam Gase's letter to the law. That's really what it is. No matter if it's check with me's, how he wants check with me's done at the line of scrimmage, how he wants audibles called against certain defenses, got to get it executed. This is how I want it done in terms of audibling at the line of scrimmage, terms of communicating to your teammates of what needs to be done to get everybody organized. And last but not least, how Adam Gase wants a game managed. When to call timeouts, when to throw it out of bounds, when not to take a sack, when the team absolutely in any critical moment cannot afford to have a turnover or an interception at this point in the game. So all those things to manage a game, no matter how Adam Gase communicates it, Jay Cutler has to be able to digest it, learn it, put it in the mental Rolodex, and go out and execute it on game day. And some of those things can change week to week. As we know, every week there's a new game plan.
Jim, when you're inserting a new offense, do you always start with the 3, 5, and 7-step drop where you're going to end up there and then see the offense from there and then incorporate your feet? Or is it all put in together?
Normally you start with the basics. Like you're going to have mirrored route concepts, base offensive principles, i.e., let's say we go I write 90 hitch. Mirrored routes are two hitch routes, one by the Z, one by the X. It's called a mirrored route principle in terms of the route tree, right? And then let's go same formation. I write, let's go, 24 Oki. That's a West Coast offense principle where you got 12-yard mirror route outcuts, the conversion routes versus cover two, and you normally do your base offensive install out of regular, then you'll do a base install out of three wides, then you'll do a base install your four wide receiver package when you're in shotgun, you'll do your base run install, and you'll also do your base run and play action install. The base plays, once you get the base down, then you can start expanding all those personnel groupings that I just mentioned where you can run more exotic things, but you got to have the base down before you move on to the exotic stuff.
Kevin White, the rookie out of West Virginia, who does not have a lot of football experience, because remember, it took him a while just to get to the major college football level. He was out for all of minicamp with what the Bears called an undisclosed injury. How much time does he lose in terms of learning the stuff that you just talked about?
Well, if he's doing himself any service, he'd be going over it all the time. The mental reps are critical, too. I mean, to just go over it, to call plays yourself, to go out and actually, if I were Kevin White, I would have taken every one of those practices that he missed, grabbed those scripts, and then when he's at home over the next, run through those scripts, run through every single play. So for him, make it a practice. You know, do it exactly like the play called in the script through the OTA so he can put himself through, that type of workload. And that's how you're going to get better at it. That's how it's going to become rote memory. You got to go out there and do it and throw out those situations of coverages of where adjustments and routes and all those type of things are going to happen. Because if he doesn't get that clicking in his head right now, as Tom said, you now come training camp time, you're going to be out there thinking. And when you're thinking, you're going to be moving slowly. You know, these things all have to happen instantaneous. We're not expecting him to be a world beater overnight, but his talents are that great where he can be a high-impact contributor that continues to grow and get better every single year. So if I were him, that's what I would do. Take every one of those scripts, go home, and when you're healthy enough, go out to that football field every day. You can do it on your own and run the play that's called at full speed against all the different coverages or blitzes, and just to execute your assignment at full speed. Because that way, if you can mentally visualize and go out there and do it that way, it's not going to be so much of a challenge come training camp when those scenarios are thrown at you full speed with pads on.
You know, I think one of the immediate reflections players show to coaches when they do come back to training camp is, what were they doing this 5 weeks off? Were they doing nothing? Were they conditioning on their own? Or did they stay completely out of the playbook? They're as confused as they were the first day they get there. And that is a pretty heavy thing to go through in training camp. You can't relearn this stuff. You have to come in with your feet moving.
Now, the good news is that John Fox said that he believes Kevin White will be ready to go at the start of camp. And there's some other guys that were not around for minicamp because they're dealing with several injuries. Jermon Bushrod wasn't there. Jordan Mills wasn't there. And that gave John Fox an opportunity to tinker with his offensive line. For example, I think this offseason, guys, we've seen Kai Long, two-time Pro Bowl player in his first 2 years as an NFL player at right guard, play that position, play right tackle, and then also play some left tackle time.
You don't have that luxury. I had a chance to ask Coach Fox about it. In my era, it was Bruce Matthews, one of the greatest offensive linemen, 20-year player, could be a Pro Bowl at any position you needed him to line up at. I think that's really fortunate for an offensive line coach to have. If you have a perceived weakness at a position, Kyle is good enough to play there. You don't want to put too much on his plate because he is still a young, developing football player. But when you go out there and you see him work at different positions, he has the balance, he has the strength, he has the length, he has the intelligence to be able to understand every assignment. That's one luxury offensive linemen don't have, is only knowing your own position. You have to know all five of them, include the tight end and put the H-back in.
Why?
There, because you're working with them in so many different plays. You have so many joint responsibilities with them, not only in combination blocks, but if the defense switches at the last second before the snap of the ball, you can't verbally change the – you can't communicate. It has to do it because the knowledge of the offense.
Now, Jim, what happens if Kai Long impressed the coaching staff to the point, because they keep saying that he's still a right guard, that's his position. There were some injuries, though. That's why he's been bouncing around. Plus, you know, on game day, you might only have, say, seven offensive linemen dressed for the actual game that are active. And if injuries hit, you don't want to go through the situation that you went through last year where certain guys can't play certain positions and you're limited. This gives you a little bit of flexibility. But what happens if Kai Long actually impresses at one of these tackle positions?
Well, yeah, I think what'll happen is, like, let's say the goals get the best five out there. But, like, let's say week one, hypothetical, completely hypothetical for Bears fans that are out there. Let's say Jermon Bushrod goes down. And then Adam Gase says, you know, we really feel Kyle Long gives us the best chance at left tackle. Let's put Kyle Long at left. Let's put Vladimir Dukas at right guard, and we'll be just fine. Those are our next best five guys. And that's normally how it works. You know, that's you're going to have those type of situations. Granted, maybe Charles Leno is the next best guy at left tackle. I don't know, but they're thinking, if Kyle Long did impress, I didn't see him in any work that he did. I'm looking forward to training camp once the pads are on, because that'll be more telling. And if he works a little bit at tackle there, and that could be the thinking of Adam Gase and the offensive coaches. Get the best five guys out there on the field at the best positions that'll maximize the offense to its fullest.
And it puts that entire offensive line room on high alert.
Yep.
Because once Kyle starts lining up in your position, be careful and be nervous. You know, maybe that's a challenge that the coaches are trying to push forward. But because Kyle's a heck of a football player, and the worst thing you want to see is the best football players line up at your position.
All right, we've talked enough. Now it's your chance to join the program. 312-644-6767 is the phone number, and we've got a little bit of incentive. We have a segment coming up called Ask Tom, your chance to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. We go 10 minutes, rapid-fire questions for 85 Bear Tom Thayer, while former Bears quarterback Jim Miller sits there and judges your questions. At the end of the segment, he picks a winner. That winner, the best caller of the next segment, gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Again, 312-644-6767. Line them up. Ask Tom on Bears All Access is next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Super Bear Shuffle 5K, powered by Power Plate, takes place on Thursday, September 10th at Soldier Field. Learn more and register today at chicagobears.com/5K. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Taylor. We've got Jim Miller along as well. Guys, it is time to play Ask Tom. Rapid-fire football questions for the 85 Bear Tom Thayer at 312-644-6767. Judge Jim Miller sits back, listens to your phone calls at the end of the segment. He picks a winner. That winner, the best caller of the segment, gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Ready to go?
Ready.
Let's do it.
All right, let's rock and roll. We will start with Al in Northbrook. Al, you're on Bears All Access.
Al, how you doing?
And Al comes to us with some sound effects. We'll let him get that straightened out. We'll go to Chris at Midway. Chris, you are on Bears All Access.
Chris, how are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. Thanks, Tom. Hey, Jim. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
My question is...
Got it, Chris?
Apparently, a little stage fright. It happens to everybody.
I see it. It says harder on offense or defense to learn a new scheme.
All right.
And it is a really good question, because when you go out there, you see a guy like Jared Allen has got 15 years of experience in the NFL. In everything, all of his experiences, he has to put behind him because he's learning new terminology. He has to learn new adjustments during the course of the play. He has a lot of different responsibilities that may frighten an offensive tackle to give an offensive tackle confidence that now Jared is rushing from a two-point stance. So there's a lot of things that the players have to learn. But to me, I think the difficulty in learning a scheme is on offense, because there's so much terminology, so many adjustments, so many things a defense can do to you during the course of a quarterback's cadence that make you change responsibilities. So to me, if you're going to invest and put in a new scheme, it takes a lot longer for everybody to be working on the same system time frame offensively than it does defensively.
Tom is so good, he telepathically knows what the callers are going to ask. 312.
He deserves his own gift certificate. Take it, Tom. You got it.
312-644-6767. Wayne in Pontiac, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Wayne.
Hey, thanks. Happy Father's Day, guys. Real quick, before I ask my question, I just want to say happy Father's Day to my dad. I lost him to prostate cancer 5 years ago.
Good for you, Wayne. I mean, good for you to say happy Father's Day.
My question, can the Bears, my favorite team, beat the Packers twice this year, which I would love, and if so, how can we? And that's my question. Thanks. Go Bears.
You know, it's going to be a great challenge. I think the uncertainty of the first game of the year, because Green Bay is not going to have a great deal of footage of the Chicago Bears running this scheme. They can have schemes where Coach Fangio has been before. But, you know, if you get one privileged rusher at Aaron Rodgers and he gives him a good hit like we've seen in the past, you never know what can happen. But Aaron Rodgers is still great. They have a system that they've been involved in for a long time. In the last question, what do you learn faster? When you have the experience in the offensive system that Aaron Rodgers does with Coach McCarthy and now Tom Clements calling the plays, you have to give the initial advantage to Packers just because of their experience in the system. But I'm a Bears fan, and I want them to go 16-0 every year.
Yeah, they have to start beating Green Bay. Only two wins against the Packers by the Bears since the start of 2010, and that includes that NFC Championship game at the end of that 2010 season. 312-644-6767. Ask Tom continues. Victor in the car. You're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Victor.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Okay, so my question is, the coaching staff the last couple of years obviously hasn't been up to par. So now that we got a real professional coaching staff, who's going to be the guy on the team that kind of breaks out and just, you know, that the coaching staff has the most effect on? Is it going to be the much maligned Shane McClellan? Is it going to be somebody like Christian Jones? Is it going to be Jay Cutler? Who do you think they're going to benefit from having this coaching staff the most?
You know,
what player do you think it's going to be?
Early right now, if I would look at two guys, I like Christian Jones. It looks like he's put on some size. It looks like he's plays with good instincts at the linebacker position. But I also saw David Bass have a good training camp at the linebacker position outside. It seems like he fits that mold more than he did a defensive end. But now when I see him in a stand-up position, I think his instincts or his knowledge of what the offense is going to try to do against him comes a little quicker. So I like you, Victor. You said Christian Jones. I believe the same. But, you know, from what I've seen out of David Bass so far, I like him. And I do like Kyle Fuller. He represents himself as an experienced first-rounder, but I really like what he brings to the cornerback position and the rest of the defensive backs. Here's a guy that could have a breakout year considering the position he's playing far enough away from the line of scrimmage in this defense.
312-644-6767. A gift certificate to Sports Authority is on the line. Dave in Decatur, ask Tom.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, man. I really love the Bears' first-round draft pick, but all the draft talk I heard was that he only played one slot or one position at wide receiver at West Virginia. I'm just wondering how big a transition that's going to be to the Bears team.
Well, you know what he does well from his experiences in college. But, you know, everybody's going to have to expand their role. Just because Kevin White was more of a one-sided receiver, he's going to be given different opportunities because when they evaluate the talent they're playing against, they're going to try to get Kevin White into the matchups they want him. And it's not only going to be on one side of the field, it's going to be all over the place. So, again, you have to have Alshon Jeffrey be a good leader of this position, and then you need everybody else to be included. So I think Kevin White can go anywhere he wants on the field because of his size is always going to be an asset against an undersized defensive back.
And his speed gives the Bears an element they haven't had the last few seasons at the receiver position.
Right, and that's something they have been searching for. They have had the size, but the speed is always a determining factor of how far you can stretch your offense.
Alex in Darien, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, gentlemen. My question involves Jared Allen. You know this guy is an extreme technician, future Hall of Famer, defensive end, and he likes to win with his hands. Being an outside linebacker now, he's going to have to win with his feet a little bit more, and I was just wondering if he's going to be able to pick up the technique in one offseason that allows him to be an effective starter. Thanks.
You know, it's funny because we did have a chance to talk to Jared, and he is really confident in his new role. In one, if you listen to that broadcast when we did the interview, he was standing in relation to me as if I was an offensive tackle. And he goes, I really like the distance in which I can get to an offensive tackle out of a two-point stance because I feel I can use my hands a lot faster, disengage from the blocker, and use my feet to get to the path of the quarterback. So he's already thinking about ways that his new stand-up, his new position, his new alignment will help him get to blockers quicker. So I like to see what Jared's thinking, and it was explained by him in that interview, and it's a good question.
There was a split second there where I really thought the two of you were going to start a pass rushing drill.
I'm telling you, I almost got my hands up to put him inside so I didn't get caught for holding in that exact second.
All right, our final caller of the segment. We've had some good ones here today. Shoelaces on the South Side. You are on Bears All Access with a gift certificate to Sports Authority on the line.
Shoelaces. Happy Friday to y'all too. To everybody over there. Thank you very much. Hey, the question I'm going to ask, with Kyle Long, okay, you know, I like what Ben Profound say. If you get a good pass rusher and good block up front and run the ball, you can win more games. You can take the Bears with Todd doing that now.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when they originally got Kyle here, it was because of the strength and the power on the inside by Ndamukong Suh. They had to get a guy to stop the, you know, the pressure of a three-step drop and then give you extended time. I think it was an evaluation process to see what type of player Kyle was and where he could fit best in the future. I think when you break an offensive lineman in early and you can put him in guard and he has an experience of Roberto Garza on one side, and, you know, they did have Jordan Mills next to him on the other side where it was two rookies trying to learn together. But, again, you figure out if he has the athleticism to play in the NFL. He's got the intelligence, the athleticism. Now expand his role a little bit. Move him out to the tackle and see if he can be a dominant force against the best pass rushers they have and give the quarterback the confidence he knows that's associated to the drop, 3-5-7 step drop he has. So I do still think this entire offensive line is really in an experiment role or where they fit best. You know, you got Will Montgomery, who's a heck of a center. They drafted Grasso, who's also a center. Those guys are probably set. The rest of the players, where can you play and where else can you play?
We have had a lot of good questions from a variety of different angles. So time to pick a winner. Not an easy job for Jim Miller.
No, it isn't. I would give Shoelaces one just for his name alone. I mean, he deserves one. But no, I got to go with Victor, who called in the car about the coaching staff and how is a, you know, who is a good new coach going to count on? One, that leadership, like Tom said, is going to come from John Fox. He's laying a foundation here, and he's expecting some young players to emerge and for that leadership to come. And Kyle Fuller, he definitely demonstrated that intensity as a rookie last year. I'm looking for him to grow and do big things here in year two.
Congratulations to Victor, who wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Jim Miller, for asking the best question on Ask Tom. Guys, to me, it has to be somebody on the Bears' defensive line. You look at the way this defense has played the last 2 years, you don't get better on defense unless you get better up front. Someone's got to be able to step up.
You got to get one of those guys that emerges. Will Sutton, Ego Ferguson, one of these young guys, Brandon Dunn, maybe an unexpected type
Eddie
of guy.
Goldman, yeah.
But you're going to have a chance to play completely out of position. If you were drafted as a defensive tackle and that's what you're used to playing, now you have those responsibilities a lot farther away from the football. You don't hear the snap count as well. You have to move on reaction, and you're going to have longer guys blocking you. So there are a lot of details that they're going to have to overcome to make sure they can get the confidence in their mind to move out a little bit further away from the center.
Less than 40 days to go before the start of training camp in Bourbonnais for the Bears, and John Fox at the end of minicamp, guys, was asked, you know, what kind of message did he leave the players? And he said, I don't want to read anything about you in the papers unless you win the lottery. So coming up next, we're going to ask both Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, what did they do during this time at the end of minicamp until the start of training camp? What are you doing to make yourself as good as possible while also taking some time to decompress after an entire offseason of football? That's next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tickets for the Chicago Bears Meyer Family Fest go on sale Friday. Come to Soldier Field on August 8th for a fun-filled event highlighted by a team scrimmage. Find more information on the events page at ChicagoBears.com. It's pretty cool this year because normally Family Fest has been in the evening, but this year on August 8th, I think it's an 11:30 start, yeah. So you can make it a whole day in the city.
It gives a great opportunity for the Bears fans to come to Soldier Field, the experience of the lakefront, everything, the city of Chicago, and then get a reflection of what the Bears are like at that stage. And I think it'll be exciting for the players to go inside Soldier Field, because whether it's your first time or your 100th time, when you come out of the locker room representing the Chicago Bears and still in the pursuit of trying to earn a job, it's an exciting time.
Yeah, and it also breaks out breaks up the monotony of camp. You know, when you're in Bourbonnais all day and that's all you've been thinking and doing, it's nice to be out in a different atmosphere and just have that kind of a practice. And the Bears are also breaking it up in another way. You know, they're going to have those two practices in Indianapolis against the Colts prior to the second preseason game against Indy.
Being around the modern day NFL, have you been around training camps where two teams are practicing against each other? And if so, are they as physical is if they were practicing against themselves?
Yeah, I think it cranks up a notch because, you know you're getting evaluated. You don't want to be embarrassed because that guy across from you is trying to make that roster as well for their team. And I was used to it. When I arrived in Pittsburgh, we always scrimmaged every year. We scrimmaged the Washington Redskins and we scrimmaged the Buffalo Bills. Two great teams at that particular time, actually. Like, I was working against Darrell Green. You know, the unbelievable corner
right. For
the Washington Redskins. So for me, it was really a really good eye-opener. We had Buffalo at that time had a great defense with all the great players they had with Talley and all those guys. And, you know, so every year, to me, you get good work in, you gain confidence as a player, especially when I'm throwing 7-on-7 against a Hall of Famer like a Darrell Green. I mean, for me, I felt you come away with confidence. But it definitely cranks up the level of competition.
We've got 30 seconds before we have to say goodbye here. Tom, if one of the young Bears came up to you right now and said, what should I do over the next 30-plus days to get ready for training camp?
Run and study your playbook. Don't come in out of shape and not knowing your playbook. You'll be cut instantly.
Jim, yeah. Do you also take a little bit of time, though, to enjoy family? Really, for the last time, once the season starts, it's tough.
Absolutely, but you can get it all in, just like Tom said. I mean, it's not some test. I say it every year. It's not some test you can just cram for getting in shape. So if you think you can just take a month off and then 3 days before training camp say, oh, yeah, I'm going to go out and run some sprints today so I can pass my conditioning test, it doesn't work like that. So you can't cram for it. So you can get it all in. You can work out. You can enjoy your friends. You can enjoy your family. You can have some downtime. But I would be working hard with a new coaching staff in place because those evaluations are going to be more strict than what they've been the past couple of years.
Guys, we'll see you Thursday for Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabeman wishing everyone out there a happy Father's Day. Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows or download the podcast online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Subway, United, Verizon, and Xfinity.